Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
So for those of you that are aware, we're at part three of a series that's titled IDK, I Don't Know. Today's subtitle is called I Just Wanna Know. I just wanna know. There are things in life that we just wanna know. Sometimes those things that we wanna know, they may not even benefit us whatsoever, ever in life. But then there's still a lot of things that we just wanna know because they will benefit us. They may not benefit us at this very moment, at this very time, but at some point in our lives, it will become handy or useful information to us. You know, some of you probably can relate that when you were in grade school or junior high school or high school, there were some of those classes that you took in school and you were being taught, you were being filled with information, you were being filled with knowledge, but you were probably thinking to yourself, man, I am never, ever, 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 ever in life gonna use this information. It's never gonna happen. Why do I have to learn this stuff? Well, because the reason that you have to learn this stuff, even though you may think that you will never, ever, 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 ever in life use that information, at some point you will be just amazed how that information follows you, or that information that you learn comes up and becomes very useful to you at some point in your life. So I just want to know. There are things about God, there are things about Jesus, things about the Holy Spirit, things about life, you know, things about living this, you know, this spiritual life as well as living this natural life, you know, because we live in both realms, right? There's just things that I just want to know, you know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to use it right now, but one day I may want to use it, or I may be in a situation where that information becomes very valuable to me. So we just hoping that everyone continue to submit questions throughout this series. We got two more weeks after today that we're going to be in this series. So please submit questions to me so that I can answer those questions. If there's something that you just want to know, maybe it's not something that you're actually dealing with, or maybe it's not something that, you know, it may be relevant right now in your life, but maybe one day it will be. You just simply want to know. Amen. You know, we have several scriptures that we've been using to kind of push us, encourage us, move us forward in this series. The first one is Matthew chapter 7. So for those of you that's been with us, you know these scriptures. I've been sharing them from the very beginning, and we're just repeating these same scriptures, and that is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto us. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to knowledge, or when it comes to understanding, then these are some things, this scripture is very relevant. Ask, if there's some knowledge that you want, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. If we want to know, ask the question, open your mouth. Like I told you before, a closed mouth don't get fed, right? So open your mouth so that you can get fed. Fed with what? Fed with knowledge, amen? Fed with understanding. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. I just quoted the scripture earlier. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep waters, but a man of what? A man of understanding. A man of understanding. But a man of understanding will draw it out. So it's important. It's valuable that we gain understanding, amen? And then the last one is Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in what? In understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Our opinions have no value. Our opinions make us look like a fool. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to understanding, when it comes to knowledge, it's important that we put forth or we gain knowledge, because then we don't look like a fool when somebody try to challenge us. You know, the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, a workman being able to do what? Rightly divide the word of truth, mm-hmm. being able to rightly divide it, the truth from the lie. When you have understanding, you're able to rightly divide the truth from the lie. You're able to separate the truth from the lie. You're able to distinguish and help people to understand what's the truth, what's the lie. But when you don't have understanding, you may be sharing everything that you know, but it's all your opinion, not based on knowledge, not based on understanding. Our main point has been great questions teach us and they transform our thinking. So we want everyone to know throughout this series, we're constantly trying to encourage everybody, do not be afraid to ask the questions. Do not be afraid to ask God questions. You know, God is not intimidated by your questions. He's not offended by your questions. So great questions do what? Great questions teach us. Not stupid questions, not dumb questions, not questions that have no merit whatsoever, but great questions. Great questions, they teach us and they transform our thinking. I told you guys for the first 2 weeks, I gave you a question to help to try to motivate you, and questions that you might want to submit to me that I can answer during our services. And that question was, if you can ask God one question, what would that question be? Well, today I want to give you another question, okay? Another question to help motivate you in coming up with questions that you can, again, ask and submit to me that I can try to do my best to answer those questions. And the question now is, if you could ask Jesus one question, what would that question be? You know, I've asked you before, well, if you can ask God one question, what would that question be? Today, I'm asking you, if you can ask Jesus one question, what would that question be? So I want you guys to really think about that, you know, and submit your questions to me. You know what I mean? Submit them to me. But not only do I want you to submit your question to me, I want you to ask him himself. If you can ask Jesus one question, what would that question be? So ask Jesus the question. Jesus, here's my question for you right now. And ask him that question, but also submit it to me. Amen. Submit it to me, and I'll do my best to try to answer that question as best as I can. So for this week, week three, we have two questions. Guys, I want to tell you, I'm trying to make this thing as participatory as possible. Okay. I'm digging down into my dictionary, right? I want to make this as participatory. Is that a word? I think that is a word. Look it up, somebody, and tell me if that's a word. Brandon, don't be looking at me like that. But I want to make this thing as I'm at a loss for words now. I want you guys to participate. All right, that's what I'm trying to say. I want y'all to participate.
Yes, it is a word.
Okay. It is a word. See that? I'm smart. I got understanding. I got knowledge. I got wisdom. It, participatory. What does it say?
It says participating, a highly participatory approach to teaching and learning. So it's a way of providing participation.
All right.
Or characterized by participation.
It's a motivation for learning. Okay. So I want this to be participatory. So I want you guys to submit me some questions. So we've been averaging about three questions, okay? And today we have two questions. Give me some more questions, all right? Y'all submit your questions to challenge me. I'm inviting you guys. Challenge me, okay? Put me on the spot. Give it to me, all right? So here's our first question for today. We have two, and here's our first question for today. It says, life gives us highs and lows, and sometimes it gets in the way with our time with God. I instinctively call on him every time I need him, but I feel my praise runs short when he is blessing me. How can I do better at praising God when I am in a great season? How do I do that? Or how do I know that my praise is enough? Is it ever really enough? Okay, so let's answer this question. I want to start by answering this question with reading four commandments from the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments I want to read. And that is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. And it reads as follows. As God asked, and I think I'm reading out of the NIV too, just in case anybody want to know. And it says, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing the children from their sin, from the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me, but showing love to a great thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and you shall do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons and daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor animals, or any other foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is within them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the question again is, how can I do better at praising God when I am in a great season? Before I go further into answering that question, there's some things that I want to point out in these commandments, these scriptures that I just read. One of the things that I want to point out here is that, let me go back to it. In verse number 5, it says, you shall not bow down to them nor worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations for those who love me and keep my commandments. So this is not really the basis of, this is not a part of the answer of the question, but I just simply wanted to point this out. There's sometimes when we read the scriptures, there are certain things that we really need to just, you know, take note of, okay? You know, sometimes you make footnotes of something. And when you make footnotes of something, like if you're reading a book or something like that, or if you're studying or something, you make footnotes. And what those footnotes do is they help you to remember something so that later on you can go back to it and maybe dig a little deeper into it. Okay. So I'm making a note. This is not the answer to the question again, but this is a footnote that I just wanted to put out there to you. Here God says that he says, you should not bow down to them that worship. Bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So we have to understand that there's things that we as parents we can do in our lives that will actually affect our children, our grandchildren, and our great grandchildren. Whether blessings or whether cursings, there are things that we can do, things that we do in our lives that affect us, that affect our children, that affect our great-grandchildren, okay? And then on down, even great-great-grandchildren, because he says down here to the third and the fourth generation. But check this out. I want you guys, the reason I wanted to footnote this, I wanted you guys to really, really just every now and then you have to pay attention to how good God is. You know what I'm saying? God, so often people look at God as being a great punisher. You know what I'm saying? Especially when we are in this place of we know that we got sin on our lives. We know that we're imperfect. And we, it's like, how do we ever measure up to being good enough for God? And I want to point this out because of one part. This question has a three questions actually in it. And one of them, the last question is it really enough? Is it really enough? Sometimes we look at God and we look at him as being a great punisher. And it's hard for us to look at him as the great blesser. Okay, we know he blesses us, but we so often focus on the punishing aspect of God to where we kind of just things are get it gets unbalanced in our thinking and our knowledge and our understanding of who God is and his character. Okay. So he says here, when it comes to the sins of worshiping other gods, he says that he'll punish the sins of their parents to the third and the fourth generation. But then right after that, he says this right here. He says, but everybody say, but real loud, real hard, real loud, but showing what? But showing love to a 1,000 generations, 1,000 generations. When you compare the punishment to the blessing, there is no comparison. He said he'll punish the sins of their parents to the third and the fourth generation, but he will show love to 1,000 generations. To who? To those that keep his commandments. To those that keep, in other words, his love is so incomparable to his punishment. His love is you know, when you look at it, 1,000 generations compared to 3 or 4 generations, that's like taking a dollar. That's not even a dollar. That's like taking $1,000, okay? And taking $3 out of $1,000. How much did you miss? You ain't gonna even miss that $3. Give him a point? Okay, that was a footnote, all right? That was just a footnote. God is so good. God is so good. God loves, he loves, he loves. There's something that we have to really grab a hold to, how much God loves us. And sometimes it's hard for us to really understand how much God loves us. Okay, getting back to the question. Okay, so in answering this question, how do I do better at praising God when I am in a great season? So in answering this question, we must consider what God wants and not what we want to give him. And I'm going to say that again. We must consider what God wants and not what we want to give him. So often we think about ways to bless someone by giving them what we want to give them or what we think is going to make them happy. And we do this without even considering what they ask for or what they want. So we want to bless someone. We want to give someone some gifts. Okay, so when it comes to God, we want to give God the appropriate praise. And so often we try to give God the appropriate praise, but we're giving him what we want to give him, or we give him what we think he wants without even considering what he wants or what he asks for. Okay. And so we have to be very considerate about what he wants, what he is looking for. And then when we do this, when we try to bless God or try to bless people by giving them what we want to give them or giving them what we think they want, what happens is we get a response, or we get upset, or we don't understand why we're not getting the response that we was expecting. We get a different type of response, and that response is not like, man, that's not what I was expecting. I was expecting a different type of response. Well, you have to understand that you cannot expect a person to respond in a way that they did not prepare you for. Okay. In other words, it's just like a child. You know, when a child does something with a parent, you know, and when a child makes a parent disappointed, you know, the child has a certain type of a look, or, you know, that they have on their face and whatever. There's sometimes when it comes to God, we're trying to please God, and we feel like we don't live up to, or we fell short of making him happy. We fell short of pleasing him. We fell short of our praise to God. And when that happens, then we feel like this child that disappointed their parent. You know, some of you that you have children, you know, at times where you as a child at one point, you know, you felt like you disappointed your parents, or as a parent, you look at your child and you see that look on their face like, man, they know that they disappointed you. Sometimes we try to give God this type of a praise, or we try to bless God in a certain type of way, but we give him what we want to give him, or we give him what we think he wants. And it's not even what he wanted from us. It's not even what he asked from us. Okay. It doesn't mean that it was bad, but it's like, that's really not what I want, or that's really not what I asked for. You know what I mean? And so we can't be upset when we don't get the type of response that we were hoping for. I'm gonna share something with you, and this is gonna be a two stories in the Bible I'm gonna share with you real quickly to help you to understand what I mean. If you guys remember, Adam and Eve, they had a couple sons, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, they brought an offering to God. And in their offering, one of them, Cain brought some fruits, some vegetables, and some grain as his offering to God. Abel brought a lamb. All right. When God saw, when both of them presented their offering to God, their sacrifice or whatever, Abel presented the lamb and it was pleasing to God. And Cain presented some fruits and vegetables and some grains. And God did not accept Cain's offering. But it does not say why God did not accept his offering. And so God did not accept his offering. But at this point, okay, Cain was disappointed in God's response. He did not get the response that he was hoping for from God. Okay. Abel did get the appropriate response. Okay. Abel brought a lamb. One brought fruits and vegetables and grains. One got a good response. The other one got a bad response. Now, was fruits and grains and vegetables a bad thing? No, but it wasn't what God asked for. It wasn't what God instructed them to bring to him as an offering. For years I was lost as to why was God not upset? Why was God not happy with the offering that Cain brought? And then guess what? God didn't even punish Cain. He didn't even punish him for it. The only time that Cain got punished is after he killed his brother. He got mad. He got jealous. He killed his brother. That's when God punished him. But before, when he just brought his offering, that wasn't what God wanted and wasn't what God accepted. God never punished him for it. Okay. So here's the deal. I did some research and study, and I was studying the book of Deuteronomy, Leviticus. I think it was those two books to study. And I studied all of the offerings and all of the sacrifices that God had instructed them to bring to him, meaning the children of Israel. Fruits and grains and vegetables wasn't on the list. So at some point, Cain and Abel knew that they were supposed to bring an offering to God, and God gave them instructions of what he wanted, and Cain brought what he wanted to bring. And because he brought what he wanted to bring, as opposed to what God asked for, he did not get the response that he was hoping for. Okay, here's another situation I'm going to share with you guys, okay? A rich man asked Jesus, how can I enter into eternal life? And this rich man, when he asked Jesus this question, Jesus responded to him. He says, keep the commandments. Okay, you probably wonder, why did I read those first commandments in the very beginning in answering this question? I'm giving you guys the long of the answer of this question, so hopefully you can really dig into this thing, okay? I can give you the short, but I'm giving you the long. So I share with you guys the 10 commandments, the first four commandments. And here now I'm going to really break it down as to why I shared those commandments with you. This rich young man asked Jesus, how can I gain eternal life? And Jesus responded, he said, keep the commandments. So in essence, we have to understand here. So in this question that was asked, the question was, how can I do better at praising God when I'm in a great season? So I'm making an attempt to try to answer every aspect of this question. All right. So that's why I'm giving along. So there's different aspects in this question. There's a bunch of little tidbits in this question. So I'm trying to hit all of this stuff. All right. Okay. I think there's something that I might have. No, let me keep going. Okay. So in this rich young ruler, he asked Jesus a question. And he says, how can I gain eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. This was what type of a man? And I said ruler, but he wasn't a ruler. What type of a man was he? He was a rich man. Okay. He was a rich man. Why does it say that this? Why was it important for us to know that this was a rich man? Okay. Because this man was at what? A great season in his life. He was at a great season in his life. Okay. The Bible is not telling us this, that he was a rich man just to be telling us, just bragging on him. There's a reason for that. Okay. He was a rich. It wants us to really understand the circumstances, the situation, where this guy is at. Where is he at? Okay. He's in a great season in his life. He's a rich young man. How do I gain eternal life? He wants to know. A rich young man. How do I gain eternal life? Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. In essence, he wanted to know how to gain eternal life. In order for him to gain eternal life, what does he need to do? He needs to do something that's pleasing to God. He needs to do something that's going to make God happy. He needs to do something that's going to be what? Acceptable to God. If he does something that is acceptable to God, then God will accept him into where? Into that eternal life. Okay? This dude said, basically, I want to be accepted that I may have eternal life. What do I need to do to make myself acceptable to God that he's going to give me eternal life? And Jesus says, do what? Keep the commandments. Jesus told him, the way that you please God and gain eternal life is keep the commandments. If you are worried that your praise isn't good enough or that your praise falls short, ask yourself the question, am I keeping the commandments? Am I keeping the commandments? There's a starting place for everything. When this guy came to Jesus and he asked him the question, okay, how do I gain eternal life? Jesus gave him the starting place. And the starting place was keep the commandments. If you are keeping the commandments, then you are pleasing enough to gain eternal life. I want you to really hear that. If you are keeping the commandments, then you are pleasing enough to gain eternal life. If you are pleasing enough to gain eternal life, that means that God he's accepting you at this place by keeping the commandments. He's accepting you into this place of eternal life. Okay. Question, simple question. How do I gain eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. Now the conversation goes a little bit further. Okay. So you have to go back and read that for yourself. But right now we're at this starting place. Keep the commandments. How do you make sure, or how do you know that you're praising God, or you're giving God, you know, what he deserves or what he wants, giving God what he wants? How do you know that you're offering? Because when you're praising, you know what you're doing? You're giving God an offering. You're giving him an offering when you're praising him. So when you are praising God, you're giving him an offering. Then guess what? You are doing what is good enough. Okay. So we are the second question. We're going to move on to the second question. All right. The second question is this: how do I prioritize what God wants over what I want? How do I prioritize what God wants over my wants, especially if I want is sinful, or what I want is sinful? All right. So it's kind of a two-part question here. Okay. We got this first part of the question: how do I prioritize what God wants over my own personal wants? And then the second part of this question is, especially if what I want is sinful. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take out the especially if what I want is sinful. All right. And I may come back to that part. I may include that part in the answer. But I want to really focus on the first part of the question is, how do I prioritize what God wants over my wants? Let's start. I like that. You know, when we're trying to find answers, when we're trying to find a solution, when we're trying to find understanding something, there's always a starting place. Okay. So here's the starting place. Let's start with defining the word prioritize. Prioritize means this. It means to designate or to treat something as more important than other things. So how do I make the things God wants more important than the things I want? This is essentially the question. How do I make the things that God wants more important than the things that I want? It's simple. It's simple. Okay. I learned a long time ago that, and I'm guilty of doing this, you know, a lot, but I have to remind myself at times that it's not that complicated, Byron. It's very simple. It's very easy. It's very simple. You have to understand that God made his ways easy for us. He made them simple for us. Things are complicated. things are hard for us to understand it is because we made it hard. We made it difficult to understand. If we remove ourselves, there's a scripture that says, lean not into your what? Lean not into your unto your own understanding, but what? Unto God's understanding. We are so busy leaning to our own understanding to where we complicate things when God is saying it's not that hard. It's very simple. Very simple. So the answer to this question is real simple. Here's the answer to the question. Make a choice. When it comes to, you know, prioritizing, you know, the things that God wants over the things that you want, you have to just make a choice. So again, prioritizing, understanding what prioritizing means. So, you know, how do I make the things that God wants more important than the things that I want? If you can recognize what God wants and you can recognize what you want, then you have two things on the table. Then at that point, it's a matter of picking one. Which one is more important? Pick it. Okay? Just pick it. Most things in life are about choices. And we complicate too many things by trying to make everything seem so hard to accomplish when in reality, it's about a choice. It's simply about a choice. If you want to prioritize what God wants over your life, make the choice. Just make the choice. Just do it. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 5, it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land that you are living in now. But as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. Joshua simply put them in a situation, and he told the children of Israel, because they were doing all kinds of stuff, doing, you know, just living just crazy. Some people was trying to live for God. Some people trying to live for themselves. Some people trying to prioritize, you know, their wants over God's wants. And they was like, man, God wants us to do this, but I want to do this. And they're struggling with that. And they're going back and forth. People was going back to worshiping idols, you know, and some people trying their best to worship God, but then getting caught up in the midst of everything. And so it's like everybody just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, it's like there's something on the inside of them that they had a desire to worship God because they knew God, they saw God, they heard God's voice. Remember, these are the children of Israel who God delivered out of slavery, all right? Some of these people were still alive. They were in their elderly years by this time. You know, some of them was children, you know, real little children when they were delivered out of Egypt, but they were old enough to remember God. They saw God. They seen God work. They saw his hand at work. So they knew God was real. So in that, they had this desire to serve and worship God and to please God and to praise God. But then he also had all this other stuff that they wanted to do that felt good, taste good, smelled good, looked good, all that other stuff, right? And they just kept going back and forth, back and forth. And then Joshua was like, look. Okay, y'all got to stop all this seesawing. Stop all this seesawing. Okay. Pick what you gonna do. It's about a choice. And they come to Joshua. This is what God wants, and we're trying to figure out, but we want to do this over here, and okay, but this is what God. And Joshua's like, look, time out. Pick. Just pick. It's about a choice. Just pick which one you want to do. Okay, which one you want to do. Joshua was letting them know, just pick one. And here's the deal. You have the freedom. Joshua wasn't forcing them to pick one side or the other. He says, I'm going to read the scripture again. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, undesirable. It's not that they don't love God. It's not that they don't appreciate God. Not that they just, you know, think God is an evil person or anything like that. No, it's just that some of God's ways just wasn't that desirable to them as some of the other ways was. And so that he said to them, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you are living in right now? He said, just pick. He said, but for me, I'm just putting y'all on point today. I'm just letting y'all know today, okay? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, okay? But so you have the freedom to decide on whichever one that you want. But whatever you decide, you must be willing to live with the consequences and or the rewards of your choice. You have to be willing to live with the consequences and or the rewards of your choice. Remember in the Ten Commandments, and the Four Commandments that I read, and the commandment number 5, I was reading that to you. And it says, you shall not bow down to them nor to worship them, meaning the false gods or images or anything like that, that you should not worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sins of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. Okay, that's a cursing for bowing down to worship false gods. But look, on the other hand, the blessings is this. If you commit, he says, but showing love to 1,000 generations who love me and do what? Keep my commandment. So whatever choice you make, when it comes to prioritizing your wants over God's wants, pick which one you're going to do. And then and ask yourself the question, which one is more desirable? Whichever one is more desirable, then go with it. That's what you want to do, then do what you want to do. That's your choice, okay? And then whatever choice you make, just know that you have to be willing to live with the cursings or the blessings, you know, whichever one there is. Just be comfortable in knowing that you made your choice, okay? Amen. So those are the two questions that we have for today. And I hope that I was able to bring some understanding in those questions for you. I hope that your knowledge has increased just a little bit more. And I pray that that whatever choice that you make, that you are good and that you are comfortable in whatever choice that you make when it comes to praising God, giving him your praises. So know that your praises are good. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. The first four commandments, you know, I share this all the time in teaching on the commandments. The first four commandments are all designed on loving God. All designed on loving God. The commandments 5 through 10 are all designed on loving one another. And so God, if you want to be pleasing to God, those first four commandments is a great starting place. A great starting place.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.